My name is Natalie. I work in population health surveillance at the INSPQ. And just to get an idea of the background of what we do, essentially, we focus on measuring and assessing the health status of populations. So there are statistics involved and collection of data and analysis. So I'm going to do my best to, in 8 minutes, present you this big project. I'll explain to you just the basic essentials. If you were at the ACFAS, you would have seen this presentation already. So before I move ahead, I want to extend deep thank you to McGill for funding this work. It wouldn't have been, this project would not have been possible without their help. All right, so let's have a bit of background, first of all, perinatal health. For whatever reason, the health status of Francophone and Anglophone children in Quebec has not been investigated, despite knowledge that in the States and in other countries, ethnic-based or cultural inequalities are known to exist and that they vary geographically as well as by time in these countries. So on this basis, we decided that it was important to evaluate what could be the status of Francophone and Anglophone perinatal health and how it evolved over time in Quebec. That was our objective. I'll quickly get into the methodology. I'll be brief. What we did was to take the cohort of Quebec birth registration certificates, and that's about 2 million births from 1981 to 2008. We looked at two birth outcomes. One is smallness for your age at birth, which is called SGA, small for gestational age birth. this would be, say, for the room, if we take the room here, you're all babies, the smallest 10% of you would be called SGA. It doesn't mean you're sick, but smaller babies tend to be at greater risk of a variety of unwanted outcomes, mortality, morbidity, and preterm birth. Preterm birth means being born before 37 weeks of gestation. Now, what we did was take the, because on the birth certificates, mother tongue is documented, so we took the maternal mother tongue, French, English. We looked at different periods from 1981 to 2008, different regions, metropolitan Montreal, other metropolitan areas, other parts of Quebec. And we essentially calculated rates, looked at odds ratios, adjusted for various characteristics of a mother that might confound the results. Okay, I'll quickly get into the results. Throughout these slides, the blue refers to French and red refers to English. What this slide shows is that essentially the majority of births were Francophone, about 81%, and 8% were Anglophones. So those are the births that we analyzed. And of course, there were foreign languages and some bilinguals, as well as Aboriginal languages. Over here, I would just like you to look at... can you see that? Okay. Oh, what happened? Sorry. Okay, this row here, column, is there a pointer? Under the proportion here, we've got the SGA births, Francophone, Anglophone here. 11% of births that were Francophone had SGA birth overall, and 10% were Anglophone births. So there's a difference there. In terms of preterm birth, there's no real difference between the Francophones and Anglophones. The rest of the slides will focus on disentangling and fleshing out these two proportions. This is the SGA birth rate. I'll remind you that's smallest for birth at age. What this slide shows is that rates have been declining over time gradually. This is something that's known. It's not new. However, what's interesting is that the Francophones, their rates were much higher in 1981 to 84, right here. And sorry about this, it's very sensitive to minuscule touches. The rate has been declining more faster for Francophones over time than Anglophones over time, such that they nearly caught up to each other by 2000 and 2004, around there. If we look by area, there appears to be a higher rate for Francophones than Anglophones in Montreal, with some other differences, especially in the rest of Quebec, which consists of rural areas and very small cities in Quebec. The other areas didn't really have much differences. Now, this is the interesting slide. Here we've got Montreal on the left, Quebec on the right. And I'm sorry, this FPA is supposed to read, that's in French, it's supposed to be read proportion SGA birth. And we've got the time periods on the bottom. So over time, what we see here is that Francophones have declined a bit faster than Anglophones. They caught up to each other in 2000, 2004. And then something happened in 2005, 2008, where there was appeared to be like a flip, a reversal of inequalities in Montreal, per se. And this is statistically significant. In the rest of Quebec, the Anglophones have been and continue to be in a better situation in terms of SGA birth than the Francophones. I'll quickly show you odds ratios. The important issue on the thing to on this slide is to look at this here. One, this line here, means that Francophones and Anglophones are about the same. Odds ratios below one mean that the Anglophones are better off than the Francophones. Then over time, the Anglophone, the above one means the Anglophones are not as well off. They're worse off than the Francophones. So we see this gradual, very gradual, over time flip in the inequalities. It's very interesting and unique. We don't know why this happened in Montreal. Whereas in the rural areas, there's been just a gradual improvement over time in their SGA birth status. Okay. I think that for preterm birth, there was not many differences between Anglophones and Francophones, either over time and by regions. Preterm birth rates have been increasing in Quebec. This is an established known knowledge for various reasons, but what this slide shows is that it's been increasing for both Francophones and Anglophones. That little space that is right over here appears wide, but it's not. It's just that the axis on the left is quite large. There's no difference between Francophones and Anglophones in terms of preterm births. By region as well, there's nothing really interesting between the two. So what did we find then? What is our conclusion from this study? SGA birth, which I remind you is the smallness of babies at time of birth, have improved in Quebec, but much more faster for Francophones than Anglophones. And in Montreal only, there's been a flip in the inequality such that the Anglophones right now are worse off than the Francophones. And preterm birth, we didn't find many differences between the two. What are the implications of this? So SGA birth, for your knowledge, is just a measure of poor fetal growth. Risk factors, the main ones, although they're not well understood, the main ones we know are smoking, number one, and low socioeconomic status. So knowing that, we want to try and understand what happened in Montreal. Why did this reversal, this flip over time occur? Is somehow smoking involved? Those rates that I showed you in 2005 reflect about a decade prior because smoking usually occurs, or something that happens in childhood, in adolescence. So we would have been looking at teenagers in the late 90s and early 2000s who may have started smoking more in Anglophone schools than in Francophone schools. We don't know. These are hypotheses that need to be investigated. The other issue is that it appears that Montreal is an area where there are these inequalities, linguistic-based inequalities. So what is it about Montreal? Like, what types of neighborhoods? Where are these Anglophones located? So our next step, then, will be... Thank you, but it's too late. The next step will be to... we're now working with GIS people at McGill and elsewhere to try and identify a set of neighborhood risk factors for small for gestational age birth, to try and look at how to tease out what happened in terms of deprivation or other neighborhood characteristics that may have been associated with these issues. We know that Anglophones are perhaps more mobile. They tend to move out of Quebec and perhaps move from rural areas to Montreal. Is it these most disadvantaged Anglophones that are moving to Montreal and locating in very poor areas? These are things that we will try to look into more closely. And of course, we are very interested in collaborating with others who have similar related interests in investigating the health status of minority populations or other disadvantaged groups. So I welcome your, I'm not sure if the questions come now or later. Okay, later. The other wonderful news is that this work will soon be online in about 3 or 4 weeks. We found out on Friday. So if you want me to send you a copy of this work here, you can email me. Our poster will be right there. I can give you cards, or you're welcome to call me. So, as you wish. Thank you.
Thank you. Assume that we thirst for knowledge more than for coffee, and that we hunger for truth more than for muffins. And so I'm going to allow a couple of minutes into the break for questions. I think these are important issues. Are there any seekers of truth here who want to delay people's coffee? Do we have any questions? We have time for a couple of questions or comments. You're afraid? You can delay coffee, please. What's your question? Yeah, and I will repeat the questions for people at the back. Yes, so for Nathalie Auger, yes. Go ahead.
My question was regarding the SGA. I just have a question on the neighborhoods with the highest risk factors that she identified. Would she have some specific information on the neighborhoods?
Okay. So which neighborhoods? We want specifics here. Which neighborhoods have highest risk of SGA? Nathalie, do you have that information? Are you allowed to release it? What is? There's a microphone for you at the back there, Nathalie, if you want to go stand right behind you.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the next phase of our study, actually. So we don't have an answer to that yet. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is that these are the trends that we observed for all of Montreal as a whole. And our next step will be we are doing it right now. We've already identified neighborhoods that are more disadvantaged at a material level and at a social level, meaning economically as well as socially in terms of relationships between individuals in the neighborhoods. We're definitely going to look at that. We're looking at other possible indicators or developing these indicators in terms of factors such as immigrant concentration or minority concentration. So those things are to be done, so I can't give you an answer right now.
I think if I'm not mistaken, you now have access to postal code information in some
records. We do have the
records.
Postal code in the birth file.
Yeah, so that would be a really interesting second step. I'd like to see an application for that, yeah, eventually. Is there another question or another comment? Yes. For Nathalie also, yes. So the relationship between SGA and the language of the mother. Yeah. That's the question.
Yes. What's important to realize is that a long-term vision is necessary here. Right now, we're limited to working with large, it's not a limitation, but there are large population-based data sets where the number of variables is not many. So on the birth certificate, the information that we know is what the mother's mother tongue was, what the home language is, the father's mother tongue. There's a lot that we could do with that. We know the mother's education, the country of birth, things of that nature, but we don't know, did she smoke? Did she take drugs? The things that would be important risk factors for small for gestation. So that's why a long-term vision is necessary to disentangle all these issues. It's not something that would be resolved. I can't give you an answer. I feel like I'm not answering anybody's questions. Yes.
So far, being part of a linguistic minority seems to be a risk factor, and Nathalie, you're saying yes. I'm just repeating this for
today,
the benefit
of today in Montreal. Today,
the webcast.
Not 20 years ago, but today it is. Anglophone okay. Montrealers have a higher risk of SGA birth today.
Okay, thank you very much. There'll be plenty of time to discuss this with at the posters at lunch.